Rachel.
Thank you. My name is Rachel. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I think I always have been. As far as I know, I was completely born with this disease. I cannot remember a time when I didn't either overeat or restrict or do something completely crazy with food. Pardon me. So in the bit where in step two it says came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, I actually didn't know sanity around food at all. Because my whole life was spent either binging or restricting. My pattern was absolute yo-yo dieting, and it started really, really young. So yes, I said I can't remember a time when I didn't overeat. I was put on my first diet by my family when I was about 8, and I come from a family that was generally very loving, prosperous. But had a lot of addiction in it and a lot of dysfunction. And my role in the family, so I mean, they put me on diets because they were absolutely doing the best that they could, because they saw me being unhappy and being bullied because of my weight. And so therefore, at that time, I'm kind of old. That was what you did. You got thin. And I did have a lot of resentments thanks to recovery. No, I just know they were doing the best that they could. They were all doing the best they could with the information they had available at the time. And my role in the family was to look after my mother and keep my father's secret. And the way that I kept myself quiet and sane and was to numb out on food. So I grew up. My family was one where they wanted to, the facade was really, really important. So we all worked really, really hard on making sure that we looked good. And that was, I did not grow up with values of honesty and things like that. In lots of ways, I had lots of values that I really treasure, but the value of people pleasing, the value of making sure everything was okay and everything looked good, that was what we focused on. And success, academic success, looking the right way, being the right way, all of those things, financial success, those were what I grew up with. And so, of course, that's what I picked up. And I grew up feeling increasingly really, really alienated because I'd see other people around me and I was told I had a great brain. And I have been blessed with being reasonably intellectually and academically bright, but you know what? Emotionally, absolutely not. So I would see people around me and I think, how come everybody around me knows how to get on with people, knows how to get a decent night's sleep at night, crucially, knows how to eat, and I don't? What's wrong with me? So I very quickly picked up that there was something deeply, deeply, deeply wrong with me. I was utterly flawed and totally self-hating. I used to write myself notes which would be headed, things I need to do in order to become a human being. And top of the list was always be thin. And as I got older, second on the list was get a boyfriend. So those were the things that really, as it were, drove my life. I mean, I probably would have put be successful, except I don't think I had the language for that one. So I started off with a cycle of yo-yo dieting. What I didn't know, and it took till, well, for quite a long time to realize, was that my response to food was really different. I used to think that everybody had the same cravings as me, everybody had the same difficulties as me. The difference was they were all really strong and willpowered, and they knew how not to do it. They could keep to the diet, they could limit their portions. I didn't realize that some people have a feeling in their body when they're full and then they stop. It still baffles me today how somebody can look at a plate of my binge food and eat half of it. I don't get it. I just don't. But these days I can accept, okay, I don't get it. It's my brain just doesn't work that way. I have to find a different way of doing things. But in those days, I just turned it in on myself and I absolutely hated myself to the bottom of my being. And when I was around 11, I had a very strange experience, which I now know was a psychotic experience, where I thought I was so alienated, I felt I was the alien. I couldn't talk to anybody in my family because of all the stuff that was going on with them. I was very bullied at school and isolated, ostensibly because I was fat. I suspect it was also to do with the fact that I was quite an odd kid and probably not a very nice one. So I absolutely just thought I was the alien. I felt that alienated, and it was really odd. And the only thing I could trust was food. Food was it felt like it was the only consistent thing. That and actually and books. And I used to just retreat into books, into fantasy, eating and eating and eating. And this carried on for a long time. But on the outside, everything looked pretty okay because I was very, very good at masking. Thank you. So on the outside, it looked like, yeah, everything's fine. You know, the fact that I went up and down the scale and it got more and more and more, and my weight swung something like 9 stone. And I'm afraid I don't know what that is. Kilos, lots, let's just say. And it was getting worse and worse. I eventually left home, went to university, which actually was really helpful in a lot of ways because being out of my home environment, I started to learn how to actually get on with people, which was great. It was also freedom, actually, for me. I know some people talk about freedom to eat. With me, it was freedom to diet. And I did this absolutely spectacular diet, got down to for the first time in my life, down to what I considered to be an acceptable weight. And got loads and loads of attention. And obviously it completely turned my head because that was kind of what I wanted. And again, it's still something I had to work up through on my step four, that the most praise and the most attention I ever got was for losing half of my body weight really, really quickly. Never mind the fact that I got into good university, had books published, yada, 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 all of those things. Never mind that maybe I hope, being of service to some people. No, the thing that people always focused on, and to be honest, to some extent today still focus on, is what my body looks like. But I've had to let that go with resentment, to just accept, you know what, sometimes that's the way the world is, and I can't change that. All I can do is to change my reaction to it with my higher power's help. So anyway, so what I did find at university, however, was a bloke who wanted to marry me, which was very convenient as well. So we got married. And again, it looked from the outside as if it was all absolutely fine. We got jobs, we got a house, we got a cat. But inside, I was absolutely crumbling, and it was getting harder and harder to keep up this facade of, I'm okay, I'm fine. Somebody in the rooms, and I hope it's okay to swear, described fine as fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. And that was how I was. But if you ask me how I was fine. In fact, I had one very wise friend whom I was extremely fond of, who, one day when I said, I'm fine, she said, you know what the problem with you is, Rachel? You are always fucking fine. And I never saw her again. And it took me to steps four and five to realize why she'd backed off, because I was utterly inauthentic. And here was a person who could spot that and wasn't going to put up with it. So carried on being unhappy, discovered therapy, I actually discovered a political view on overeating. And that was the first time that I realized that I was a compulsive overeater, and actually I did respond differently to other people, which was helpful, and it stopped me dieting. What it didn't do, however, was stop me binging, because the idea was that you would eat intuitively and your body would tell you when you had enough. Well, some people's do, mine doesn't. So I just could not stop eating, could not stop, could not stop eating. And then my marriage broke down, not unhappily, but we'd married very young. We weren't completely suited to each other, so we parted on very good terms. And I came out as a lesbian, and I thought, yes, okay, I've got it. Now, this is the answer. I've been eating on my sexuality, so therefore, I need to, find a girlfriend, and all will be well. Well, to be fair, it did answer an awful lot of questions about my life and myself, but it did not stop me eating. I still kept on eating and eating and eating. And I met a woman who I really liked, and we started going out, and she was in another fellowship. And she told me in the most nice and recovery way that the way that I was acting, she wasn't prepared to put up with it. She's in a relationship fellowship. And that if I continued to act the way that I was, then unfortunately our relationship just wasn't sustainable. She wasn't going to put up with it. It was fair, actually, of course, was completely fair enough, because I was emotionally completely not there. I was just like this robot acting in the world. And it's not a way, but it's not a place to have a good relationship. It really isn't. Anyway, so between her and a therapist, I came into the rooms, and people say, come for the vanity, come for the sanity. I came for codependency because I wanted to save a relationship. One thing I will say though is that it worked, because that was about 29 years ago, and we're still together. So that was one very good result, but it wouldn't have worked just for me coming into the fellowship. And one of the first things that happened is that I have a real propensity to throw myself into things, which I always thought was not a really good idea, but actually it really worked with recovery. So I completely threw myself into recovery, got a sponsor, got a food plan. And I remember my very, very first meeting, somebody who, interesting, is I still see occasionally. She's still around the rooms. I see her occasionally in lunch meetings, which is just lovely. Thank you. And she said to me two things that really struck. So I'm going to say them to you. One was keep coming back. The other was three meals a day, nothing in between. And I could kind of like land on those. It's like those were two very concrete suggestions. And I've had in recovery a huge, my current length of abstinence is just over 2.5 years. I've been in 29 years. So it's like, do the math. I've had a real history of relapse and recovery. And I've had some years when I have been abstinent for years, but it's always been, it has for me, it's been up and down. And I used to be so ashamed of that. But that's been my journey. And now I sort of think, well, you know what? This is my journey. Here's where I am. I'm very, very grateful to recovery. But there's, I've picked up honesty as a value, something that I try to attain and really struggle with, if I'm honest. And that's one of the things. But I don't have to be ashamed of my journey. I do not regret the past. I do not want to shut the door in it because I'm here. And actually, I'm really happy to be here. Anyway, so I worked the steps as best I could. I got the most lovely sponsor who was also an old timer in a beverage fellowship. And he said to me, work the steps, work them quickly. You can always do them again. And I found that again to be very good advice and absolutely true. So I worked the steps as best I could. My first step for, I didn't do resentments because I said, how can I do resentments? I don't have any resentments. I'm a really nice person. Second time I did step four, I had about 400 resentments. So, you peel the onion, the layers come off. But I did the best I could, and I think that was what was important. My initial and I used to say, I don't have trigger foods. I binge on anything, which actually is true. I can binge on pretty much anything. I do have those behaviors. It took me, so when I did three meals a day, it was like three course meals a day. That was all I could manage at that time. But actually, I started to lose weight because I've been eating so much before. Any kind of gap between breakfast and lunch and lunch and dinner and breakfast again was going to help. And also, it was such a relief because I really, really did think I would die if I didn't keep eating. And that might sound really dramatic, but that's how I felt. Really, I was very dramatic about this. And I learned that actually I didn't die. And over the years, one of the things that I've learned that actually I think has really helped in my getting longer term abstinence is really to be able to identify what my trigger foods are. That step one thing of I am not only powerless over food, I'm very powerless over particular foods, which I won't mention because I think they're it's one of the things I've also noticed is that one of the mistakes I made was to follow somebody else's food plan quite some time. And then what happened was I ended up not eating some foods which were actually completely safe for me, which was depriving and not, well, I mean, it wasn't a problem particularly, but it was a bit pointless. But crucially, I was keeping in my diet, in my food plan, some foods that actually I cannot handle. So I'm not going to mention what they are because for me, what was important was finding out for myself what it was. And that was what happened about 2.5 years ago. And I just wanted to share sort of some of the promises that have come true. The first thing is that a relationship with a higher power. I came into the rooms a very kind of fierce atheist, that bit at the end of the Big Book Void, which talks about contempt prior to investigation. That was me. And it was interesting because when I started investigating, it was like, oh, okay, yeah, there, I have a higher power. For me, I can't name it. I can't really describe it. It is something to do with connection. There's something when I connect with human beings, other human beings in a positive way, it's absolutely greater than myself. And if I reach out there, it works. I can't really describe it more than that. And I know that I can have that connection with people whose idea of a higher power is really, really different to mine. And for me personally, my belief is that all our food plans are probably different, even if it's only a tiny bit different. But so I suspect are all of our versions of higher power. We just need to find a higher power and it's whatever works. So, and again, I did one of the mistakes I made along the way was to try to find somebody else's higher power. I desperately wanted to be religious. I wanted that comfort. You know what? If I ever saw a burning bush, I'd probably end up putting a fire extinguisher out on it. And it's part of what I have to accept for me is that's just not, it's just not me. It's not my version of a higher power. And actually, my version of a higher power is unbelievably sustaining, and it really has. And I've had a, to kind of get current, I've had a really weird week this week because of various things that have happened. And I was helping out a friend with
5 minutes.
thank you. I was helping out a friend with an appeal for some benefits. Very English thing here. Which worked. And then yesterday I was going to go back home, work really, really hard. And I was absolutely exhausted. And one of the things that recovery has really given me is that capacity to kind of go, higher power, what should I be doing today? And the answer I got was not work even harder or you're a failure. The answer I got was, you need a rest. There's nothing that can't wait till tomorrow. And that kind of gentleness and that access to that self-compassion. We talk about a spiritual transformation. And for me, that's what I've noticed. I actually noticed, I thought, oh my God, I would never have thought that before. I would have, I always thought that not only that self-hate was justified, it was kind of like how I fueled my life. If I can only be disgusted enough with myself, if I can loathe myself into doing the right thing. And that's proved to be absolutely untrue. And just lately, I mean, if I sound a little bit kind of overexcited and like a kid, it's because I suddenly realized that feeling has completely gone. I do get pissed off with myself sometimes. I really do, but now it's like more like kind of, oh my God, look, I've made that mistake again. Oops, I need to repair it. That was silly. And it's like, it doesn't send me into, well, you see, that's because you're so stupid, you're so hopeless. That just doesn't come into my head anymore. It's really interesting. And it's absolutely been lifted by really working the steps, working with a sponsor, doing the things that are suggested, which was never actually my best thing in any case. All of those things. And I'm really finding the promises have come true, but I'm just like a little bit bamboozled because when I was young, I couldn't, they talk about things being beyond your wildest dreams. And I used to have very wild dreams. I was going to be an opera singer. I was going to be famous human rights lawyer. I was going to be a politician. I was going to save the world, which incidentally, spoiler alert, I never did any of them. What I never thought I could do was to have lots of really good friends. I have been in a relationship for this long that's still going strong. We've brought up an adopted son with additional needs who, if anybody's ever been on a meeting before, knows that he's the love of my life and the bane of my life. But we've been able to hold on to him. I never thought that that would be possible. I reconciled with my father before he died, was even able to look after him in his latter years. I never thought that would be possible. I have a really good relationship with my mother, with my brother, who I was horrible to in our childhood, absolutely horrible to. And he was the one I had to make the biggest step nine amends to. And we now have a really good relationship. I have a good relationship with my nephew. Those were the things that were beyond my wildest dreams because it never even occurred to me that I could have them. And actually, I think I'm going to end on that note, which is that if there are any newcomers in the rooms, the two things that I did right, now the one thing I really did right all the time was keep coming back and not quit before the miracle. So thank you very much for inviting me to be here, and I'll leave it there. Thanks.